With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Do you get that Friday feeling, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's Pep versus Jose in the Prem, and Chelsea are off to Newcastle. It's Friday, 20th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome one and all to your fabulous Friday. Oh yes, it's going to be a good one, Andy Brassel, you smiling beast. Andy, another excellent episode of On the Continent yesterday, I might say before we get going.
Oh, thank you.
Give those listeners a flavour of what you covered yesterday.
Well, of course, me and Dotton and Nicky Bandini, who joined us this week, delved in to what happened behind Spain 6, Germany 0. Beyond the headlines, beyond This Is a Love, which was in The Guardian. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah. And we had Moussa Okwonga came up with Let's Talk About Zex. For the bilingual, which was excellent. But we go deeper than the headlines. We talk about that. We talk about Norway's quarantine argument with the rest of the world that is extending beyond the international break, and the new Atalanta. And if you want to know who the new Atalanta are, you're going to have to tune in and listen.
Or you can find some of their products at knocked off prices at that website we often talk about, Andy.
Exactly, Marcus.
But we're not going to give them a free plug, are we?
We're not.
No, well, that sounds bloody marvellous. Do search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your pods and subscribe so you never miss an episode. So you never think to yourself, oh, too late will be the... Well, it's not too late because you can... It's recorded. They're all online. You can go back and listen to the ones at the start.
The key thing is, though, you only have to press the button once.
Just once.
You haven't got to keep pressing the listen.
Yeah, if you don't press it twice, then it will unsubscribe and you've undone your...
Exactly. exactly.
Easy work.
And on Andy's hard work as well.
The bottom line is...
And on Andy's work.
Yeah.
I don't want you getting a sore finger during lockdown two. Yeah. That's the bottom line. So just press it once.
The working title for On the Continent was, we've given Andy his own show to stop him talking about European football so much.
How's that working out for you?
Not really that well, to be honest.
Well, Andy, the international break is over, much to the glee of everybody with a Twitter account other than myself.
You still banging that drum?
Well, it's finished. It has finished.
No, but you're still banging the international football drum.
I just saw the other day that Gareth Southgate was saying that the players are really looking forward to the next international break and they can't wait for it.
They have to wait, wouldn't they?
Well, they will have to wait.
4 months or something.
My goodness, they're on the same page as me.
I mean, it's going to work out for me and you, Marcus, because I've heard what the tentative plan is for Euro 2020. Oh, yeah. Is they're not going to let any spectators in apart from me and you.
Now you're talking.
Because we supported them the whole way.
Absolutely right.
The other way Marcus is painting a picture here where Gareth Southgate is saying that the players at the end of international break are going, oh, please don't let me go back. I hate going to stay at dad's.
Yeah.
I want to stay at mum's. It's not happening. They can't wait to get back.
Unconfirmed reports of Dele Alli saying before the international break, please, Gareth, take me with you. But we shall see.
The answer was no.
For now.
Yeah.
So we shall see what the young man can do. Probably not too much, but because Spurs are playing Manchester City this weekend, and it does rekindle that rivalry between Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho, which, of course, has died down in recent years and whatnot. But, Andy, could it be a little bit more spice? Guardiola's just extended his contract, of course, and Spurs are above Manchester City in the table, and Mourinho will be well aware of that.
Oh, yes, he will. And dare I say that a Spurs win would be so much better for the after-match press conference.
Of course.
I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
Mm.
Although, you know, you do get a bit of Jose's salt if it doesn't go his way. It'll be interesting either way. I feel quite strongly that Spurs are favourites for this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where we are.
Because of the home advantage.
Yeah, that'll be it. I really don't know where we are with Manchester City at the moment. And, of course, everyone's wondering, really, what this Guardiola contract extension is telling us.
Well, it's telling us that Luke Moore and his predictions are wrong. For the time being,
what was my prediction?
You said that Pochettino will be in by Christmas.
Yeah.
I may have made up that last bit.
No, I was kind of hoping that you would do me a disservice there, but you haven't. It's terrible.
I think he has done you a disservice there.
The fact that the intensely weird peanut head has extended his contract is terrible news for those of us who predicted that Pochettino would come in at City, and it's already been agreed behind the scenes, then Guardiola would leave after this season and the coronation of Pochettino would follow. My theory has been torpedoed out of the water. It's been blown to pieces.
But you know what?
And I don't know what, I'm going to have to make up something else now.
Yeah.
If you look at this, and I think the headline doesn't really tell the truth, going back to headlines here, because he's extended his contract, so he's contracted to the club until 2023, unless. I mean, it's kind of what I would call a Theo Walcott extension.
Right.
Do you remember when he was getting ready to sign the ting at Arsenal? And he signed that 3-year deal, which wasn't the I love you and I'm going to stay forever. It was, this is our mutual safe space. Mm. This will work for us at that point in time, but we're not tied for each other forever. And this is, I mean, it's not exactly a 2-year extension, is it? It's a 1+1.
Yeah.
So there's an option to take it to 2023.
Well, the quote he said, Andy, was, we've had long talks this week together. We put forward both sides to continue or not. I mean, that's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
In any sort of negotiation.
Well, take that as read.
Yeah.
What actually happened?
Yeah. He put them both forward. I can leave or I can stay. Well, which one are you more enthusiastic about?
Do people normally say that in contract negotiations? Normally contract negotiations, certainly the way that they're told to us as people listening, as fans or through the media, is very much, oh, well, there was never any doubt about this. We always wanted to extend it. I never wanted to leave this club. Where's that in this?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, he went on to say, in the end, we decided that it's best for all of us to continue. It's not the sort of inspiring stuff if you're a Man City fan that you want to hear, because we still have the feeling there is unfinished business and there's still something to do. It's called the Champions League, Mr. Guardiola, of course. But Luke, what does that quote say to you?
Well, it says to me that there, what I'd like to bring to the table here is that there's a player that Guardiola has been linked, intrinsically linked with. Mm-hmm. throughout his recent career as a manager. Mm. And it comes up again and again when we hear about Guardiola signing extensions to his contract at City, as we've had the last 24 hours. And on everyone's lips, we are wondering if that player is going to join Guardiola at Man City. Nathan Redmond. And if Nathan Redmond can join him, I know Nathan Redmond's also under contract at Southampton until 2023, but if Nathan Redmond can join him, it would be a really big bonus for Man City as part of their rebuild.
Well, okay, so if you're part of the rebuild, you've got Nathan Redmond on one flank.
Yeah.
Who are you going to have on the other?
He can switch.
Yeah. Is the situation going to get a little messy, Andy?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's messy. That's the talk. Messi's out of contract, what, in the summer?
Yes.
So is he coming? Has Guardiola had, given that Guardiola's got a whole ex-Barcelona hierarchy around him, and part of the reason he feels so happy at Man City is because he feels like it's a home from home, is the next step big Lionel Messi?
Well, Andy, and I'll just before, I'll, on the back of Luke's question, I'll put it to you. I'll put both situations to you. Is he going to go or is he not going to go? Yeah. All right.
Messi, not Redmond.
No, Redmond, we know already. I mean, there's no point even discussing that.
Yeah.
I don't have huge difficulty believing it could happen. Ooh. If I was Pep Guardiola, I would be extremely wary of it, though. If I was going to rebuild, and he does have to rebuild Manchester City to a certain extent, and you had to wonder, when you were talking about the possibility of him leaving, does he necessarily have the appetite for that? I mean, people saying that he's never rebuilt anything before and, you know, everything's been handed to him on a plate are completely either forgetting or ignorant of the situation he took over at Barcelona.
Absolutely right.
When he had to do some pruning of some very powerful, high-profile players, when he brought some others through and made them cornerstones. You look at Piqué and Busquets.
And also, they forget his first season at Man City as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Pedro. Don't forget Pedro. Yeah, he came in. Everyone remembers Pedro.
Yeah, all right.
Great contribution.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pedro had an amazing situation once where, at one point, where he'd won more trophies than he'd lost games. Didn't he win 6 trophies in his first season or something? Like the first time ever anyone's done that.
It's pretty fantastic.
It's amazing, and I do think that you know, it's good to have him around. He's
Guardiola or Pedro or Andy?
Definitely not Andy.
I'm just kidding. How dare you?
Can we talk about Mourinho though?
Before we do, I want to go back and finish the Messi point because I think if you look at, you know, it's so difficult to say no to the best player in the world if you've got that opportunity. Yeah. And it speaks volumes for the relationship you have with him and all the rest of it. But if you look at the Cristiano Ronaldo situation, I'm not comparing them as players or any of that stuff.
Who do you think's better?
But if you look at how it's gone for Juventus, without Ronaldo getting anything wrong on the pitch, he's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Building around an advanced timeline player, it's super complicated.
Yeah.
It's not the way to rebuild. And that I think the pressure to do that is going to outweigh any common sense ultimately.
Because they do what Rangers did with Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah.
The original Ronaldo. You only have to play games against Man United and
Man United.
Liverpool. Well, Man City.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about the Rangers contract.
Robin Van Persie at Fenerbahce.
Yeah, well, exactly. Similar type of thing. The Rangers offer to the original Ronaldo was you only have to play Old Firm games and Champions League games, right?
Yeah.
And what they could say to Messi is you only have to play games against Man United and Liverpool and Champions League games, and that'll be fine.
Yeah. We'll see in Wings Restaurant.
To seal the deal. The reason I wanted to bring in Mourinho is just because I think today is the first year anniversary of his appointment.
It is.
So he's been there a year already, which has flown by.
Yeah.
Statistically, they've been the third best team in the Premier League in that time, behind just Man City and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And the reason it's really interesting, I think, is because, as I've mentioned, I think a few of us have mentioned over the last few weeks on the show, the Premier League seems, because of the circumstances, seems like uniquely positioned for someone to go out there and just grab it and say, do you know what, we want the title this season.
Well, Jurgen Klopp said there's 8 teams involved in the title. He's officially blown the title race wide
open. How many of those are on the verge?
Well, for me, it's just one.
Yeah, Spurs.
Well, the team who are currently top end.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and so you think with all Mourinho's experience of being at the top of the game for so long, what he's been able to do, actually, because it's been a year he's there. When Pochettino left, the chat was, well, the team are at the end of their cycle. Yeah. They needed something new. They needed fresh blood. Now, of course, he's made some signings and some players have come in and freshened the place up.
Yeah, but he's not really rebuilt it.
No. And I think he's bloody well, actually. It. Yeah, he's done bloody well. Mm. No one's conceded fewer goals in the Premier League in the season. I think only Chelsea have scored more. They're kind of, as much as a Mourinho team can, they're kind of flying a little bit under the radar because everyone's talking about whether Liverpool can defend or Man City defend the title or whether Man City can come along and take it back. I wouldn't be writing them off, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I mean, a lot has been said about Mourinho, of course, and that, it will always be said about Mourinho.
And that's just his Instagram thing.
I was going to say, we'll do a whole show, perhaps we will at some point. But, you know, the man's absolute box office, as we know. And, yeah, we many people saying, is he a busted flush? You know, when he took over at Spurs, you know, and that season, I mean, them sort of celebrating, sort of just nipping into the Europa League. You know, a lot of people, us included, had a little bit of a laugh at that. You know, how the mighty have fallen and so on. Although you see what he was doing, he wanted European football in some capacity to show the kind of ambition and size.
He's
of
He's doing
the, club.
The Porto comparison, isn't he? When they snuck into the Europa League in his first half season in charge, then went on to win it.
Right enough.
Then stepping stone to win Champions League, etc., etc.
But, I mean, do you think Mourinho... what do you think of him, Andy? Because he has made that team better. And he has re-energised them. And that is a bit of an achievement. I mean, it's early days so far, but...
Exactly, yeah. It's early days. And judging him on the opening of what is a uniquely weird season... when people were saying he was, you know, possibly a busted flush like less than 6 months ago, I think is a bit of a leap. I think we have to wait and see a little bit.
But do you think people wanted to say that, though? Because he
what,
gives
that
it...
he's, that he's a busted flush?
Well, because he gives it the big one. And he you know, he's hoisted by his own...
No, I don't think... When you look at some of the football that Spurs played last season, before we even get to the results... I don't think that was unreasonable.
No, but I think
when you combine it with what happened in the last couple of jobs as well. I mean, the fact is, Mourinho is always going to be living on the edge, particularly because of the sort of football that he likes to play. But also the stuff he says, the quotes, and so on. Sure, but like, never mind that. Just think about the football. Take away the whole Amazon side of it. Mm. And if you just think about the football... Spurs played some borderline unwatchable football last season, compared particularly to with the way that expectations have been raised in recent years. And the fact is, if the results aren't there, there's very little left to defend. And that is something that I think he accepts and I think that he understands. Now, of course, because he's got exceptional attacking players outside of that, and that's before we even add Gareth Bale... The players can step outside of that for him and they can take a bit of the pressure off him by doing their stuff, which they have been to an extent this season, especially the relationship between Son and Kane, which is absolutely outstanding. If you can add Bale to that and Bale can contribute in some way, then fantastic. And I noticed that like a lot of people building up to this game are super hopeful for Gareth Bale. All of a sudden, you know, they feel he...
We've seen a bit more from him in Wales. He's growing into it.
Yeah, he's finding a little bit more. I mean, who'd have thought that games would get a player fit? I mean, that's always a problem, isn't it, though, for a superstar who's had a difficult time coming into the Premier League. I mean, you can compare it, I think, to a certain extent to, say, Radamel Falcao when he came to Manchester United and Chelsea. The fact is, after his injury and after a spell of inactivity, he needed... a row of games to get him fit. And he was never going to get that at Manchester United. And that has been the problem with Spurs because they've got a lot of other high quality attacking options. Mm-hmm. You've thought, where is the run of games going to come for him to play himself into form? Because, you know, that's something that Harry Kane has always done, isn't it? Played himself into form. He refuses to rest and he plays through minor injuries and bad spells when he's not in great nick and all that sort of stuff. And Bale didn't really have the opportunity to do that for himself. So maybe he's one of very few players out there for whom the international break has actually worked quite well.
Mm. Yeah, quite possibly.
I just think it's last season the Premier League was a shutout.
It took till the 27th game or something for Liverpool to lose a game. They dropped 2 points in their first 20-odd games.
They've already been beaten 7-2 this season.
And it's as wide open as I've seen it this season, and it's there for someone to go and take an opportunity. And I wouldn't be massively surprised, given a lot of what Andy said there, but a lot of the form that some of the players are in at Spurs and the way that he's strengthened, if it's them.
Luke, you mentioned Mourinho's Instagram for you, or one of you. Apparently there's a video on there outlining Mourinho's 7 Instagram tips.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. It's 4.5 minutes long.
Yeah, I was saving it for the weekend.
Probably watch it at half time in this game.
There's a photo of him eating popcorn.
Yeah.
He revealed he was watching Legend, the Craze.
Oh, the
film.
Craze movie.
I can't wait for sure.
That's amazing. Yeah, was he really?
He's watching it, yeah.
Oh, great.
Do you think that's what he's going to say to Guardiola? If Guardiola, like, they don't put up much of a fight, Spurs just breeze past him, he's going to get angry?
Do you reckon he feels some sort of product loyalty to Tom Hardy, given his big role in All or Nothing?
Yeah, maybe they become pals. I don't reckon. Is Tom Hardy even a football fan?
I don't know, but he's exactly the sort of person I could imagine being mates with Jose Mourinho. Do you remember, if we go back a few years and you had the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing with that was when you had to nominate the three people to do it, he nominated his good friend Bryan Adams.
Yeah, I know, that was weird. That was Pele McHucknall-esque, that. Oh, come from nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember Mourinho saying that. It was weird, really weird.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, let's move on to Newcastle versus Chelsea. Frankie Lampard's boys going up there looking for another victory. I mean, Lampard, they've just hit me microphone.
Very excited.
Very excited. There's some quotes from Frank Lampard. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen. It's like 2010 all over again. He's been speaking about the difficulties of management, and he said, I realise now it's much harder than playing in terms of it being all consuming. A manager gets 50 problems a day. And it's interesting what he was saying. I mean, it won't come as a surprise to too many people, but it's always interesting to find out what's going on in a Premier League manager's head. And he said this about playing. It was interesting. He said, your playing career, you're quite selfish. It's all, you know, it's about yourself, preserving yourself. Whereas, of course, a manager, you can do all the coaching badges, you can learn all the tactics, you can figure out the opposition, blah, 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 blah. You've got to manage people. Mm. You've got to manage the players. You've even got to be nice to the canteen staff. You've got to, you know, the relationship with the chairman, blah, blah, blah.
You should
do that
anyway.
Well, of course you should. Of course you should.
And that's just his job, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about that.
Uh-huh, and one might say it's an absolute piss-take him complaining about that in the era of the head coach. Because when we're talking about genuine managers, if we're going back 25 years, you genuinely did have to do everything.
Yeah.
You had to do the transfers.
How many people in Guardiola's team? Contracts? 40 or something like that?
Yeah,
Guardiola's got a massive team.
Exactly.
Do you remember years ago, Luke, the manager of, was it Canvey Island?
Yeah.
Who years ago, he's one of those guys, you talking about managers having to do everything. When managers at that level years ago, I don't know if they still do, would have to like mow the grass, everything, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And during the game, he's there, and it's obviously like lower league football, and he's shouting and barking orders, this, that, the other. He turns around and sees a couple of those, oi, get off the roof of that car seat, it's going to collapse.
Two kids sat in a porter cabin by the side of the pitch. Get off the roof of that car seat, it's going to collapse. Right, you, tuck in.
So I respect that sort
get
of...
Get warmed up, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He's like an octopus, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
I respect that sort of multitasking.
Yeah.
I
mean,
and
use of the word carsy.
Absolutely.
You don't hear it enough, do you?
That's to be respected as well.
You don't hear it enough.
But I remember going to watch the London Lions basketball team, and they had the cheerleaders on at half time. And then as soon as the second half started... They came into the crowd and started selling raffle tickets.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Multitasking. I mean,
a bit like Maurice Volz at Fulham.
Your Lakers girls aren't doing that.
No, they're not. Definitely
I should
not.
Say, Volz, he was injured. He wasn't like...
Now, what was Volz?
You meant to be right back at this time.
He was selling raffle tickets.
He was going around with a bucket collecting charities.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like old John Pansel doing his lap of honour as well.
Yeah.
Very much part of his role.
Wasn't for charity. That was for just good spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's part of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Or as we call it nowadays, warming down.
Yeah. One thing is, I think... gone a little bit unnoticed, certainly by me, possibly because I wasn't paying attention, is that Chelsea's defensive record since Thiago Silva's come in has been amazing.
Mm.
And I think bar that first...
Mendy as well in goal.
He's been good as well. Mm. But I think bar that first game where Chelsea played against West Brom, they drew 3-0 and I think Silva looked a little bit at sea.
Mm.
He's picked up the speed of it absolutely incredibly well. And they've kept so many clean sheets with him in the team now. It can't be a coincidence. Mendy's probably played a part as well because he's not Kepa.
But have you been impressed with Lampard? You know, Tim Sherwood with A-levels, as he once called him.
Yeah.
You know, because they were leaking goals. Last season, that was very much a problem at the start of the season. But they seem to have shut it up quickly.
They have. And I think what regular listeners to this show will know is that I spend a proportion of the time talking absolute shit. And sometimes it comes back to bite you. So I'll take it on the chin. If he goes ahead and wins the Premier League this season, then, you know, good for him.
I mean, that would be a surprise to many people.
But they've strengthened well. I mean, it's not just defensive strengthening. With, you know, because if you think about when Liverpool went from being a good team to a great team, probably a lot of people, the academic orthodoxy, if you will, would be it's because they brought in Van Dijk and they brought in Alisson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chelsea have brought in Silva and they've brought in Mendy, and it could have as much of an impact. They're not going to go and do what Liverpool have done, but they might do a lot better than people expect because of those things. But it'll also be in their case because they've strengthened in a really big way going forward as well. So, and the key point about this, by the way, is because this weekend, first game of the weekend, tomorrow lunchtime, when they go to St James's Park to play Newcastle, Thiago Silva's not available. So he's not going to play, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of impact that has on the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Frank Lampard, you don't have Thiago
Silva. Yeah, so he's not sat on top of the cars.
Yeah, exactly. Brucey, what are you doing up here? Do you think Steve Bruce will be relishing
Dutch
this?
Dutch manager Steve Bruce.
They've got a fine tradition of Dutch managers, of course, Newcastle.
Yeah, and they play the sexy football. But Thiago Silva's not going to be there. Will Brucey think, right, lads, let's use some of this attacking flair that I know we have and let's go at them?
Marcus, that sounds just like him.
Will he think, let's get the ball on the deck and let's get amongst this rubbish.
Let's get stuck into this rubbish. Is that what he's going to do?
Yeah,
they're going to play the sexy
football. I'd love to have Frank Lampard shout to Thiago Silva, who's failing to deal with a high ball coming over. Fuck's sake, Thiago! Yeah. Like a man caught between two bus stops.
Well,
it'd be great to have like non-league / Sunday league shouts from tracksuit managers.
Hang on, that was at Hearts
at the Premier League.
Non-league.
Sorry, apologies to Hearts fans. Apologies to Jambos everywhere.
Yeah, top tier side, other than Dark Forces putting them down.
It was just banter. It would be amazing to have, for a day, a Sunday league tracksuit manager, manager a Premier League team.
Yeah.
Just hear what comes out of the mouth.
Oh, big time.
It'd be great.
I think it would be. We're all in favour for that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
On Stakhanov.
One Direction's Liam Payne was in the studio talking to Jack Mate's Happy Hour about life as a global pop star.
with untold stories about his time on The X Factor, life in the world's biggest boy band, and going solo, this one is not to miss.
I was part of this massive machine, and I knew my part in the machine very well. So I knew what I was doing every day. But then when that machine falls away, and you're in the world, and the world's just happening around, like, where do you fit?
You can catch the full episode on Spotify. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, on this week's Football Ramble Presents, Kate and Jim sat down with former Chelsea, Juventus and England striker and football legend Enya Luko to discuss her storied career and her autobiography, They Don't Teach This.
Whether it's racism, whether it's bullying, whether it's sexism, often these behaviours are silent. They're not always something that's said. It's a feeling, it's a set of behaviours by a group of people towards you that makes you feel incredibly isolated.
You can hear more from Enya Luko with Football Ramble Presents on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Always believe in your soul.
That's it. No, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton, go.
Oh, it's just a bit too long.
Yeah, I love a bit of Phil Neville commentary.
Does anyone else think that sounds like Luke singing?
Oh, get out of it.
Oh, you've
it
hit,
really does.
You've hit him where it hurts.
So I'm getting pelters today.
I never said it was terrible singing. I said it sounded like you singing.
It is terrible singing.
I was about to say, that's not objective.
Yeah. I mean, we all talk about the time that we got together in my old flat and watched El Clasico.
El Brasico. And later on in Luke's game, we got Spell Brasico.
Well, that was Pep versus Jose as well.
Yeah, that's
right. 5-0. That was the 5-0er.
In that it was, yeah. And Luke, in a similarly historic event, after the game, did a bit of an acoustic set, didn't you?
I think I've been boozing.
Do you know, I don't remember that.
I think I've been boozing. You had the decks out.
Yeah?
In the air. It was heady days, guys.
I remember that.
Heady days.
But I've enjoyed Luke singing an acousticing before.
Yeah. It's very much like the Manchester Free Trade Hall where people formed bands after watching the Sex Pistols. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's very much like the fact that everyone says they were there.
Yeah.
Even though there are only 10 people there.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get off ridiculous music careers and crap singing with some of this.
Just even a show.
Hello, ladies and gents. 2 weeks ago, this isn't me, by the way, speaking. This is an emailer.
You should have said that. It sounded a bit like an agony aunt column, like a Lonely Hearts column.
Get some of that background music.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was listening to the podcast whilst picking up my wife from work and hearing Kate's voice, she remarked that it sounded like her spunky sister.
What's a spunky sister?
Oh, dear.
Like an energetic kind of joy de vivre sister, yeah.
In an Australian sense. Spunk in England means something different.
Yeah.
But in Australia, it's a bit of sort of testosterone.
Give it a bit of spunk.
The school spunk.
Yeah.
It's again meant something very different here. Carry on, Andy. Come on. Yes.
Do you want to play Pete's dog eating a carrot? That make you feel better.
Yeah, I think it would. Anyway, that got us wondering what family roles you would assign to the other members of the group. We agreed on the following. Marcus and Jim, elder brothers with responsibility. Luke, studious nephew who whines about stuff.
Well, studious, I'll take that.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Kate, spunky sister, is mentioned above. Jules, charismatic cousin who owns the room. Yes. Andy, wise head of the family. Your words, not mine. Pete, naughty stepchild who is often uninvited from family gatherings.
Stepchild?
I think we could all agree on
not
that
even
one, Marcus.
Born into
that.
So
not
hard.
Even a permanent member of staff.
How are you and Jim, elder brothers with responsibility?
I don't know how Jim's got in there.
What at all?
Do you guys agree with the above? Or more importantly, do the fellow Ramble listeners agree that Pete would be most fun at a family gathering, but would probably get everybody into trouble? Cheers, Sid and Nav. Sid and Nav. That was excellent.
I'm a bit gutted for Vish.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think for those of us who have been at family gatherings with Pete Donaldson, I think it's probably fair. Mm-hmm. Vish hasn't got a mention at all there.
Vish is...
I would have put Vish to bed by that point because, you know...
Well, he's a baby.
No. He's my son, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
I think Vish would be at the buffet table. and just stuff on his face.
Is that a dig?
He loves eating. He loves cooking. He's talking about it this week.
Oh,
doing a lot of cooking during lockdown.
Well, why is he not in the kitchen preparing the food
for
everybody?
Why have Sid and Nav not even mentioned him?
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to know.
I think it's an absolute
He could
disgrace.
Be the spunky brother.
He could be. Yeah. Or the naughty stepchild's best mate.
Yeah.
Who turns up and you feel a bit sorry for him.
In his Honda Jazz.
Yeah.
There we go. Thanks for that, Sid and Nav. Next time, have a bit of respect for Vish.
Right, I've got an email here. It starts off Marcus, which the emailer has spelt incorrectly. Yeah. Used a K instead of a C.
Not a difficult name, is it? Not a difficult name to spell that.
German World Cup Marcus.
Yeah, indeed. Marcus Babbel.
Yep. Frig off, you hoser. is that some sort of greeting?
Yeah.
Continue to confuse Canadians with Americans, and I'm sorry, but you'll get several more strongly worded emails. That's strongly worded, is it?
Incorrectly worded emails.
Also, on a similar but unrelated note, if you want to credit America with Ryan, use Ryan Gosling. They can have him. Sorry, and warmest regards, a Canadian. I love it how he apologises. That's classic Canadian behaviour.
Exactly the sort of stuff you get from America's Hat.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Ryan Gosling, of course, is very much Canadian. Ryan Reynolds, I wish this person would have left their name. But, you know, I don't know. Let's call him Brian Adams. Okay. Ryan Reynolds, of course, became an American citizen in 2018.
Don't look at me. You're on your own. So, I'm not getting involved.
So shove it up your bollocks.
Up yours with a rusty one. This will run and run.
Exactly.
I hope.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there we are. So you can frig off your hoser, whatever that means. If that's particularly bad, I can't imagine it is.
I feel like he might wanted to. I thought initially he wanted to say loser, and it's a typo, but the L and the H in the keyboard aren't that close, so he must mean hoser.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it, because, I mean, you know, frig off is quite amusing. Yeah.
Is that not related to get the attention?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that
yeah.
not related to that band, the Hoosiers?
The Hoosiers, aren't they?
Are they?
Oh, Andy.
Are they Canadian or American?
I can't remember. We now sound like the oldest man in the world.
Indeed.
But I should say, show at footballramble.com. People to email in at Football Ramble on Twitter as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I just love the face. So Canadian. There's two sorries in that email. Yeah. Were you having a go at me?
Yeah.
Marvellous. Oh, we love you, Canada. God bless you. And we had a marvellous time when we did our live show at Toronto.
Yeah.
But it's.
Much muck in a boot for my taste.
Indeed, Andy. Indeed. Talking of taste, what about that poutine we had? Vladimir poutine.
Now you're talking. That was delicious.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
actually delicious. Yeah. And it really did solidify my opinion that Canada is my favourite American state.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sunday, 12 o'clock. It's Fulham versus Everton.
12 o'clock.
Nearly a bit of a Freudian slip there, Andy. What do you think? Is it going to be a bit of a feisty one, considering James Rodriguez is going to be playing? Now, he's angry, of course, because there are reports suggesting that he was involved in a fight with his Colombian teammates, Jefferson Lerma and Davinson Sanchez, following another defeat for the Colombian national team, this time against Uruguay. But he has denied all of this in quite a long statement as well.
Which he threatens legal action. Against no one in particular at the end. And at the top, he dates it and puts where it's written from. So he puts Liverpool, Inglaterra, but he spelt Inglaterra wrong, as we were looking at earlier.
Did Rudy Giuliani write that letter?
Oh, blimey.
I just feel for James. I think if you said to me, who's getting... I can't imagine him fighting in the first place, but if you said to me, James Rodriguez got in a fight with Jefferson Lerma and Davinson Sanchez. I'm thinking, you're going to get battered.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You get battered against one of them, let alone both of them.
Yeah, Lerma gets booked like 500 times a season, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's hard as well. And Davinson Sanchez is hard and fast.
Yeah.
So I just think you're not really got... It's hard to think of the tactic you would employ to fight them both.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
just
maybe
be careful.
Maybe he's still got that massive big insect.
Oh, yeah. The locust?
I think it was like...
A big grasshopper or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like an enormous grasshopper on his shoulder. Older in 2014, maybe just
flick that at him.
Second boy, you know. I don't know, but of course he has denied this. It is just reports.
Bottom line, they really need him to show up in this because I think it's
They're playing Fulham.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's easy to look. It's easy to look at Fulham and say it's going to be a pushover. But the reality is, Everton have been on a mini bad run, which a lot of people are calling a leveling out, and you know, a lot of people saying that maybe people jumped the gun in saying that they transformed at the start of the season. It's going to take time, I think. Mm-hmm. I think given that they've reconstituted the major part of their team in bringing three new players into midfield, there are going to be little ups and downs. But that being said, they really need a win out of this.
Yeah, and I do think part of their run has been that we are not really fully calibrated with what teams are good and what teams aren't. So you look at so you look on paper and you go, okay, they played Southampton, they played Newcastle, they played Manchester United, right? They lost all three of those games. In other seasons, you would say, okay, well, losing to Southampton, Newcastle United is a disaster.
Mm.
But is it a disaster? I mean, it's losing against Southampton away from home this season, it doesn't look like a disaster to me at the moment.
And they had their chances to beat United particularly, didn't
they? They did. That was not a 3-1 game.
No.
The third goal was at a very late on, and they were pushing and pushing. They also had a lot of chances.
If you're trying to get rid of the beauty of an Edinson Cavani goal, I want no part of that, by the way.
No, I'm not trying to do that.
Right, good.
They also had their chances against Newcastle as well. So, look, I think it's probably a little bit early to say that Everton are now kind of levelling out and they're going to finish about 10th or whatever, just because the Premier League season is so open. And Marcus, you're the kind of designated Fulham correspondent.
Oh, yeah.
They've shown a little bit more recently, haven't they? But what do you think about them playing Everton at home?
I think it's going to be a home win, right in front of the free-to-air BBC crowld.
And Morris Vaults.
Morris Vaults. Well, I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't know about you guys. I get very excited about live Premier League football being on the BBC.
Son of the BBC. Fucking hell.
And I tell you something, Fulham have deserved this. After all my moaning about the pay-per-view, finally there's been a bit of justice there.
Your lobbying's been very effective.
Extremely effective.
Is it they're the only TV company that will put up with that dreadful draft off the Thames in November?
Quite possibly.
Well, it's worse now because that stand's gone.
That's my point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the building work is very much underway and has been for a while. But they said to me, which match do you want on there? I said the Adamola-Lookman derby.
Big time.
Get him back on the horse. Yeah. That's what I want. And Mitrovic, of course, returning from international duty. Is he a bit of a wounded beast after that penalty miss against Scotland? He's going to want to take it out on somebody.
Well, will if they get a penalty, will he take it?
Well, I don't know. It's not going to be Lookman, is it?
I mean, I can just imagine Scott Parker looking around the dressing room. I've got so many options for my penalty takers.
Put your hand up if you've got Alphonse Areola for four to score.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if Lookman, if he stepped up and then tried it again, he's like, I didn't think the kick would stand still again. You know?
Well, I feel like, and you've touched on this before, Marcus, I think you mentioned it earlier this week on the show we were on together, where you said, look, Mitro's got that in his locker when it comes to penalties. Mm-hmm. And
it was a good save from Marshall with that one.
Yeah, but I don't know why Cairney's not on penalties.
Yeah.
Is it just because Mitro's a bit of a alpha male kind of character?
Well, no, because if you think about that other one with Fulham, I mean, they've had a recent history of penalties when Abu Kamara took the one off Mitrovic in the home game against Huddersfield about two seasons ago. In a huge game, and Mitrovic was the penalty taker, and he was like, no, I want to take this, and he took it off Mitrovic, and then Mitrovic actually kissed him on the head and gave him his blessing. He's like, well, okay, one of us has to step aside here because the damn kick's got to be taken. And this is ridiculous. Fortunately for Mitrovic, then he got the only goal of the game in injury time about 5 or 10 minutes later. Mm. So it is a bit of a funny one. I mean, with Mitrovic, he will have the confidence to step up and take it. And really, with the penalty, he scored one at Leeds. Yes, he missed one at Sheffield United, was it? Mm. So, I mean, I don't want to get bogged down talking about penalties. You know, one might not happen. But I think this is a must-win for Everton. I mean, Fulham, what are they, 4 points? They're 1 point, I think, above the relegation zone. You don't want to rely on teams being crapper than you. Do you know what I mean?
Well, sure, but don't you think to an extent, Marcus, they can play with a certain amount of freedom? Because even after that win with West Brom, I don't think there's anyone I know who follows football in England who doesn't expect Fulham to get relegated.
Right.
Well, you're looking at one.
Yeah.
Well, apart from you.
Yeah. on that note, a bit of a curveball, so I hope not put anyone on the spot here, but Tosin Adebayo, who plays at the back for Fulham now, obviously got him from Manchester City. I remember seeing him play in the League Cup for Man City a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
And he was outstanding, like an outstanding prospect. Mm. I know that he spent some time on loan at Blackburn. He's 23 now. Mm. And I was at the time, I was absolutely sure that he was going to be a centre-back that's going to come through as part of this investment that Man City have made, not just in signing players, but bringing the academy on and all the rest of it. And he's never really done anything for Manchester City. I don't think he's ever made a league appearance for them. What's he look like at Fulham?
Well, he's not been there very long, but I mean, Fulham have looked much better defensively if you think about the start of the season.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for old Michael Hector, who didn't have a good start. He was good in the Championship. We've seen that many, many times before when a player doesn't quite do it. And I think, Parker, he needed a few reinforcements there. And your man from Lyon, Andy, who you derided.
Joachim Anderson.
Yeah, and Anderson came in and has done all right. So I think, yes, Fulham look defensively a lot better. Mm. But, I mean, you know, they need to look a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better is good, but we need a few more lots in there, is what I'm saying. And
so it'll be a test for Everton. We'll see where Everton's at, but it'll be a test for Fulham
as well. We've had an international break, and that can, you know, teams who have had bad runs, they welcome that break. Everton are like that. Fulham probably hitting a little bit of form, if you can call it. A little bit of form, if you can call it that. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And of course, it's on the BBC, so lovely old job.
Yeah.
We mentioned the reported bust up there from James Rodriguez. Well, apparently there was another reported bust up in the world of football. I'm sure there was a hell of a lot more than just two, but the ones that have been reported was the Colombia one and the one at Arsenal between David Luiz and Danny Ceballos.
Yeah.
According to the report, it left Ceballos on the ground with a scratch on his nose. This was from last week.
This was reported by David Ornstein at The Athletic, who we all like, know and like. Nice fella. Lovely fella. Good, brilliant journalist as well, by the way.
But then Ceballos retweeted this with just the word fake in capital letters.
Well, he would do, because I think the reason for that is because I think that only football journalists appear to be this unique breed of people who are... Like, they look at a training ground bust up like they've just stumbled upon a massive gold nugget that they've just kicked out of the ground and, like, no one's ever seen it before.
Mm.
Everyone who's played football at any kind of level knows that this kind of stuff goes on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know why it's always such big news when it's reported, because it's happened years and time again.
Yeah, but people care about this more now because football's more mediatised, don't they? I don't think it's unreasonable.
What's your cutoff, though? What's your cutoff for it to be a story and not be a story? Because it happens all the time.
John Hartson, Al Berkovic, story.
That's a story.
Yeah.
We kicked him in the face.
We saw the video of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a story for a couple of reasons. One, it's Arsenal and they're an absolutely huge club. Two, Danny Ceballos has been involved in a fairly publicised set to with one of his junior teammates.
He has got form for it, hasn't he?
Before a game this season. And three, what we have to underline is that fake doesn't mean fake anymore in a post-Trump world. Fake means, I don't agree with this.
Yeah, I've got four words for you. Ashley Cole, air pistol.
I was expecting Make America Great Again, so I feel quite...
Yeah.
Joey Barton, cigar.
Yeah. Not on the training ground.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, the bar has been set very high in the past, is what we're saying. So it makes me sad, to use the words of Bunk from The Wire, how far we done fell if someone's got a little scratch on their nose.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's fake news. Fake news.
We've had better bust-ups in this studio.
We have.
And we'll have one later.
Indeed, we will.
Yeah. Jefferson Lerma's coming in.
Well, of course, Leeds are against Arsenal on Sunday.
Good game, that.
Yeah,
that should be a good one.
Looking forward to it. Is it going to feature in our 4-to-score? Let's find out, Luke Moore.
You will find out very shortly. But before we get to our picks, we want to let everyone know that this week marks Safer Gambling Week. Safer Gambling Week is a betting industry initiative designed to promote safer gambling in the UK and Ireland. As everyone knows, this preview show is sponsored by Betway. As a result, safer gambling is a topic that's very important to all of us here. To investigate it further and to ensure that we're all doing as much as we can to promote gambling in a safe way and to mark Safer Gambling Week, Jim and I sat down with Alan Alger, Betway's head of communications, last week to learn a bit more about what Betway do to ensure their customers are able to stay in control in a safe gambling environment. If you want to see that, or you're genuinely interested in what that's all about, take a look at Betway's social media channels at Betway. If you fancy watching and listening to us grill Alan on a whole host of issues around responsible gambling and drilling down into Betway's commitment to making it as safe as possible for bettors. Betway want you to bet the responsible way and are fully committed to safer gambling, as of course we are here at Football Ramble. So to find out more, go to safergamblinguk.org or head to the responsible gambling section of the Betway website or app. Right, now it's time for Betway's 4-to-score. Entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. I am kind of upset to report that Marcus Speller is suffering a crisis of confidence in Fortescore.
Yeah.
We had a little chat beforehand.
Yeah, we did.
He's it's a measure of the man that he is, that he steps up with game one and he wants to get back on the horse. I won't say some of the words that were exchanged. So it might destroy the illusion that people might have of the man.
Would you call it a bust up?
I'd call it a pathetic.
Fake.
The first game is Leeds v Arsenal, Sunday at 4:30. Marcus, you're up to set us off on the good way forward. Sunday 4:30, Leeds v Arsenal. Who have you gone for?
Patrick Bamford.
Fair enough. Not bad shout, I don't think. That's probably what I would have picked if it were me. And as we know, I've got an excellent record this season. Game two, Liverpool v Leicester, Sunday 7:15. Our mate Jim Campbell picked this one. Here's what he had to say.
Hello to the extended Football Ramble universe. Here we are, it's Fortescore. I've got Liverpool versus Leicester. And as we know, Liverpool, very unfortunately, have had a lot of injuries, particularly to their back line. If there's anybody who's going to be a fox in the henhouse and exploit that, it is, of course, Sir Jamie Vardy. So I'm going to go for Jamie Vardy just because he's got a great record against bigger teams generally. And he just likes to be an absolute nuisance. So, yeah, Jamie Vardy is my pick for Fortescore.
That's Jim there with his head sounding like he's literally got it in a freezer.
Yeah.
Which is great stuff for Luke's game coming up next. game number three, Monday, 5:30. It's a treat having a Monday 5:30 game.
Yeah.
The traditionalists
until it's Burnley versus Crystal Palace.
The traditionalists among us won't like it. Burnley v Crystal Palace. Andy, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Eberechi Eze.
Nice.
Because great goal for him in the last round against Leeds. And I just feel he's all set to explode. He's just such an exciting player.
Oh, yeah. And they're a good away team as well, Crystal
they
Palace.
They are, very good.
The final game is game four, Wolves v Southampton, following Burnley v Crystal Palace. Wolves v Southampton kicks off at 8 p.m. I've gone for Raul Jimenez.
Of course you have.
Because that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Got to do it.
Contractually
it's,
required.
It's become a tradition. So
when Jim broke ranks, he got it right, didn't he?
He did that one time. Mm. Exactly. That's the exception that proves the rule. So, in summary, Patrick Bamford, Jamie Vardy, Ebi Eze, and Raul Jimenez are our four picks. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be aged 18 or over to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. And if you want to find out more about Safer Gambling Week, it's safergamblinguk.org as well. Okay, good luck with all your picks. Let us know how you get on, because now it's time for the highlight of the week for me. It's always a game literally named after me, so that's probably why. It's this. One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of admin before we get started. Shout out to the Papa Gatto on Instagram, who shared with me a screenshot of a Player of the Year trophy for his under-8s team he coaches, the Blue Unicorns, engraved with Fire in the Belly, Head in the Freezer on it.
Yes.
Inspiring a whole new generation of youth with that. if you
it.
Want to see it, head to my Insta, at Luke Aaron Moore. I'll share a lot more of that stuff as it comes through as well. Should probably point out that, sadly, the Blue Unicorns only won one game all season.
Yeah.
But would they have won even that if they didn't have that slogan?
They sound like the Blue Brazil.
Probably not. Yeah, they do a bit. The Blue Unicorns. So yeah, Fire in the Belly, Head in the Freezer is the name of the game. This week, it's an eagerly anticipated fixture. It's actually, I tweeted about it yesterday, and I've had more likes on that tweet than I've ever had before about a fixture of Luke's game. It's the people's champ, the lineal champ, the number one seed. Marcus Speller versus Andy, the top brass brassel, ex-champion, of course, ex-number one seed. It's a huge, huge game today. Stakes are very high. A quick note from the reigning champ before we start, Marcus. How are you feeling?
Champion of Luke's game. I know what I am. Just thought I'd get that in because I might not be able to say it after this.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit like when Chelsea won the Champions League that time. And then did they get put out of the group stage or something like that?
But
for the season until the final was completed in the following year.
Andy, anything to come back on?
Yes. Can I borrow your pen?
Yeah, no, you can't. I need
it. What?
No, you can if you want. There you go.
Thank you.
You have to sanitise it first, though.
Succession. Oh, right, okay.
Hang about.
What?
What's wrong? It's favouritism.
It's not favouritism.
I mean,
to be fair, actually, Andy, I should probably say that you should come prepared.
Can I borrow your laptop?
No, you cannot. Okay. So those of you who want protocols for COVID to be satisfied, he has sanitised the pen.
Yep.
And we are now, okay, good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Good sonic punctuation, Andy.
Yeah.
Right.
Here we go.
Marcus, you're the champion, so yes. Andy gets to go first.
He does.
As a
challenger.
I know, it's nice, strange situation, isn't it? As ever, a quick game is a good game. You do need fire in your belly. You need the head in the freezer. The first player, he's played for six clubs in total. He retired in 2004. He is known for a comedy piece of play, which I'm not going to go into further detail because it might be a clue. It's Phil Babb.
Big Babb.
Phil Babb.
Six okay. clubs in total. Phil Babb. 1989 his career started. Retired in 2004. How many do I hear from you, Andy, as an opening bid?
I'm going to go for three as an opening bid.
It's a solid opening bid. Right in that sweet spot, Marcus.
It is, isn't
yeah.
it? I'd like Andy to name the three.
Okay, so Andy, straight off the bat, you've got a chance to go 1-0 ahead against the reigning champ.
Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers, straight in there.
What?
That's incorrect.
Oh dear, yeah. oh dear, Andy.
You're kidding.
No. Phil Babb never played for Blackburn Rovers. That is 1-0 to Marcus.
Unbelievable.
Spiller. Who did he play for?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Please do so.
Thanks for asking. playing your part. Started his career at Bradford City.
Yes.
Went to Coventry City.
I had Coventry.
Then he was at Liverpool, of course, yes. as we all know. Yeah. Spent a bit of time on loan at Tranmere Rovers.
I wouldn't have gone that.
One team I thought
Sporting.
You'd get. Sporting, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then he finished his career at Sunderland. For those listening, and you're obviously playing along at home, and you're welcome to do so, and we encourage it, in fact. When you're sat here as the host, and someone of the football knowledge of Andy says, says a name of such kind of conviction,
yeah.
it makes you go and check.
Well, that's what happened to me when I was, the one time when I guest hosted when you were away, Luke, and I did managers, and for Roy Hodgson, he went, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, no, he never.
I didn't do that on purpose, though. I did Blackburn on purpose.
Okay. Right, 1-0 to Speller.
Cool.
Great opening round. Yeah. You're up first this time, Marcus, of course. This player's played for five clubs in total. He's still playing.
Wow.
In fact, his career started in 2005. He is Shane Long.
Shano.
Mm.
Shano. Oh, Andy. That is unbelievable.
He's played for five clubs.
Yep. Sure has. If you get one of them, I'll give you the money myself.
I'll go two.
Do I hear three from you?
Well, I don't think
is
I can
once
do...
once bitten, twice shy, Marcus?
I don't think I can do more than two, but I'm going to have to do three.
On the front foot. Mm. You like to see it.
I do like to see it, but he could be bluffing, though.
Purists out there would love to see an aggressive play. I mean, Jim Campbell has had a great amount of success over the years. He's been a former champ, but he's very defensive, so he's not the people's champ.
No.
Speller is normally super aggressive. That's why people like him. Andy, you are going for three here.
I am.
Can I hear four from you?
No, I want Andy to do his three.
You're not going
to
go four?
Well, just tell them. Normally, Andy just looks at me and goes, go on, then. And he dictates the play. So I'm just trying to do it back.
I think you have to be reasonable and know that anyone's going to get two here. Okay. So that's why I've had to go three.
Go okay, on, final. You want
no, I want Andy to do
okay, Andy,
three.
Please name three.
Southampton.
Mm-hmm. I jumped the gun there. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
Reading.
Appreciate it. You respect the process. Trump. One more for you, for your point.
This is hard.
A big exhale.
Come on.
Need to push you, mate.
Sheffield Wednesday.
I'm afraid not.
Dear.
It's 2-0 to Marcus.
Could have been.
I was literally guessing from 90 clubs.
You could have had Hull City, maybe.
Could have had Hull City.
Mm. Hull City?
Could have had Hull City. You telling someone else to hurry up is a bit rich. Shane Long started his career at Cork City.
Yeah.
He then went to Reading, as you've all correctly mentioned. West Brom.
Of course.
Hull City.
I have no memory of him playing for West Brom.
He's currently at Southampton.
Yeah.
That's 2-0 to Marcus. I'll tell you what, I don't think Andy's ever been whitewashed before, but it's on.
You said a quick game is a good game.
Didn't Kate beat him three?
Yeah, she did.
3-0?
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. Yeah, I have thrown a two lead away against Andy before, so I'm no, and it's a very dangerous score in Luke's game.
It is.
So I am not counting my chickens.
It is. Okay, so 2-0 to Marcus Speller. Andy, you're up first. Four clubs. Kevin Nolan.
Big Kev.
Right.
Kevin Nolan. Just played for four clubs. Interesting, that. It's a very solid start from you, Marcus. Andy, can I push you for a bid, please?
Right. I'm going to go for all four.
Marcus, you've got nothing to do.
I'm very impressed with that.
You can't do anything, Marcus. It's all down to Andy. Mm-hmm. This is high stakes, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You're going for a clean sweep to stay in the game.
But it shows you the mark of Andy.
Still got confidence,
yeah. He's 2-0 down, he's on the brink, and yet he goes, you know what, I'm going to do all four. And I respect that, Andy. And if you take this belt off me, I will give it to you gladly if you do this.
The best players.
We don't want to see you take your belt off, Marcus.
I don't need a belt these days.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Okay, then, go ahead.
Bolton Wanderers.
That's correct.
Newcastle United.
That's also correct.
West Ham United.
That's also correct.
Leyton Orient.
That is correct.
Yeah, well played, Sam.
2-1. The reason that's an interesting one is because he was registered as a player for Notts County.
Well, that's the curveball,
but he never played for them.
Yeah, he never played for them.
And we've been there before, haven't we?
We have. Didi Haman. Okay, good stuff. Marcus, you're up first this time. It's 2-1. He's pulling on your coattails now. This player has played for four clubs as well. He retired in 2014. He's one of the world's best players. He certainly was at the time. Kaká.
Hmm.
How many do I hear from you?
I'm going to do all four.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. This is great stuff. All four to stay in, then all four for the win. Great. It's vintage. It's vintage stuff. At the top of the game, we expect this kind of standard.
Yeah.
Right, so all four clubs that Kaká's played for, please, one at a time.
If only I can remember them.
If you remember any of them.
Okay, let's start with the easy ones. AC Milan.
That's correct.
Real Madrid.
That's also correct.
Sao Paulo.
That is also correct.
Orlando City.
Oh,
Marcus Speller wins.
There it is.
Hey, well played. Well played. Very well played. Fantastic play.
I'll tell you what. When you still. Oh, I like the feel of this belt, Andy. You are going to have to...
rip it off him. The final player, you would have gone first, Andy. He's played for eight clubs in total. We've mentioned him already on the show today. He's still playing now. Thiago Silva. How many could you have named?
Ooh, pretty much all of them, I think.
Okay.
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
How many has he done?
Eight in total.
Let's do it. Come on.
My bid would be... five?
Marcus?
Fair play, I can't do five.
Name your five then, mate.
Chelsea, Milan.
Hang on. Let me sort myself out.
You'd already logged off.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's Friday.
But we're done.
Speller's won again.
No, I'm not having the patronising tick picks.
All right, you don't want the
tick. Andy, do you know what? In true sort of match reporting style, I at 2-0 up, I think he'd already started writing his match report there.
Yeah, I just want to get home. So who have you said so far?
Chelsea.
Yeah. Doesn't want the tick.
Why? He doesn't want it.
No, he's complaining about it.
Milan.
Correct.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Correct.
Yeah, that's all right.
Fluminense.
Correct.
Ah. Go on. For 4-1.
Pretty much all of them.
Get this wrong, Andy. It's 4-1.
So yeah.
Corinthians.
Because
the thing is, he was at both... Dinamo Moscow and Porto without playing for either of them.
Where was he, Andy?
Well, this is the controversial situation because he played for Porto B.
It doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what. Give him the point.
All right, it's 3-2. And guess what, Andy? Guess what's still the case?
Marcus sitting on top of the world.
Add a little bit of spice.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a spicy way to finish the show and set up your weekends. Another win for me, and my goodness, the belt feels good.
Yeah, and before we go, I just want to put a quick shout out there as well. For those of you, if you've enjoyed the show today, as we've enjoyed making it, and we hope you have, please go and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I mean, it's a great deal, not just to me, Marcus, Andy, and the rest of the guys on air, but also the team as well. You know, you've got Finn, you've got Charlie, you've got Katie, you've got Nat, you've got John, you've got loads of people behind the scenes making this show happen. They work really hard. It'll be a testament to them as well. So head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It takes 10 seconds of your time and we'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely right. 5-star review for us, 5-star review for me on Luke's game.
You are the 5-star performer on the 5-star show that is the Football Roundup.
Indeed,
people will be gunning for you.
I'd say so.
I've heard a rumour it's Jim Campbell next week on the Friday.
Is that right?
So you might have your work cut out for you, mate.
Look at Marcus Mount now. Look at that conga.
Pumping.
Socially distanced conga.
It's more of a caterpillar. Socially distanced. Yeah.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. Of course, we will be back on Monday. Maybe not us three.
Do this all again.
But we just do this wonderful ramble routine. But thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you on Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.